Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
This is going to be a huge show. I mean, there's so much to talk about in the Star Wars universe. It's ridiculous. We are glad you are here to listen in to the Wretched Hive Podcast, Episode 6, for Friday, March 18th. Guys, I was updating the show notes all week long. It seems like every hour almost there's a new Star Wars story out there. Lots to talk about today. And as always, I am pleased to introduce the team. I am Steve Baldwin, and joining me is my friend and yours, Greg Lent.
Whew! Steve Baldwin, I am so ready for some real talk with some real folk. Could not be more ready for real talk, real folk.
You're about to get it, my friend, because also joining us, lifelong Star Wars fan, Scott Ivansky.
Woo! Happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Is your woo thing, do you do that every show?
I don't know. I used to do weird stuff like that 20 years ago. People call up. I don't know where it came from. And it just stuck. So I just do stupid, ridiculous stuff like that.
I'm going to go back because I think almost every show you do the woo. Woo-hoo! I like the woo. I like the woo.
Just like the nature boy, Ric Flair.
we also have the captain. He's the captain of the Millennial Falcon. He's Nico Rodriguez, who had a birthday this week. Happy birthday.
I sure did. Thank you very much, sir. And don't forget the captain. I'm definitely the captain of the Millennial Falcon.
Now, because you had a birthday, are you still captain of the Millennial Falcon? Are you still a millennial?
I think that counts from when you were born, not necessarily how old you are.
Whatever. Details.
I think technically we're still Gen Xers, right? Yes. Is that technically true? We're still Gen Xers?
We are. Yes.
All right, fine. And finally, you know him, you love him. He is Dave. Do not call me Harry Potter.
Oh, why did it have to be snakes?
Nice.
Appropriate, my friend. Appropriate.
Nice. Thank you, sir. I knew you would get that.
Oh, yeah.
Well played. Well, guys, we're going to start out with shout-outs, as we always do. And, guys, we have 5 ratings on iTunes. 5.
5?
5 ratings.
3, sir.
What?
Yeah. 5 ratings, and we've got 5 5 stars. No, sorry, 3 5 stars and 2 4 stars.
How many people are hosting this podcast?
Huh. I think, you think there's a connection? Is that what you're saying?
It could not be.
Well, that means that 2 of us gave us 4 stars, so we need to pick up our game.
We're not. Well, I know 4 out of 5 of us are awesome.
We don't even impress ourselves. well, that very well may be. It may be us rating ourselves. But certainly there's more than 5 likes on Facebook, guys. We have 86 followers now on Facebook.
Woo!
Yes.
That's facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. And our last, most recent listener, I didn't write her last name down, but it's Linda. Linda, thank you for following the show on Facebook.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
You're awesome. All right, guys, so let's get into the news. We've got so much news. It's totally insane. Here we go.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
So we have official word now, guys. This is not some shaky website, you know, in another part of the world. This is StarWars.com. We have an official release date of the Blu-ray. Blu-ray will be released on April 5th. And The Force Awakens will be available on digital download on April 1st. And StarWars.com has a nice article confirming some of the elements that will be on the Blu-ray. We've got, as was mentioned last week, we've got Secrets of the Force Awakens, A Cinematic Journey, The Story Awakens, The Table Read, and actually along with that, we had Star Wars releasing a little clip, and we've got a preview clip. This is the Table Read teaser from StarWars.com. Check it out.
This was going to be the first gathering of this original cast, new cast, this core group of people that were going to be part of making this movie. And we wanted to document it, but the most important thing was to hear it. Just as a fan of Star Wars, to see them all together was an incredible thrill.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
So what do you think, guys? I am pumped about that.
It looks really good. I'm excited about it. What do we think about no like commentary track? What do we think about that?
Is that a thing? There's not going to be a commentary track?
Nothing's mentioned, I believe, right?
Well, let me read down the list of the other elements of this Blu-ray. We've got building BB-8. Obviously something about building the droid. We've got crafting creatures. Blueprint of a Battle, The Snow Fight, John Williams, The Seventh Symphony, ILM, The Visual Magic of the Force, Force for Change, and then deleted scenes. Now the rest of the story talks about retailer exclusives. So yeah, I don't see anything about a commentary track. That's interesting.
Well, I'm going to answer you, Greg. My personal opinion is every one of the films has had some sort of a commentary track or multiple commentary tracks, so I am a little bummed about this. I actually do listen to the commentary tracks on not just Star Wars films, but almost, I don't want to say every one of my Blu-rays, but pretty much all of them. So it does kind of bum me out a little bit. But I am pretty excited about the John Williams documentary, The Symphony, and also the making of BB-8. For some reason, I was not convinced when I saw the original teaser, whatever, a year and a half ago. Was that 2 years? A year and a half ago, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I was not a BB-8 fan from the get-go. I wasn't a hater, but I was just like, another droid, no big deal. But damn, if that droid didn't win me over. So I'm excited to see that little documentary on building that droid. So,
yeah, I think there was a core group of people who, when they saw that first trailer come out, and there was almost an immediate backlash from some of the people that I know anyway, saying, oh, they're just making another kids movie and that's going to be the next Jar Jar. And it was from literally like 2 seconds of footage of it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not one of those. I'm not a hater in that sense, but it just didn't make me feel like it was something major that what BB-8 ended up being, and quite an enjoyable, lovable little character.
Everybody loves BB-8. What's not to love?
Oh, man, you have not been introduced to the internet, have you?
So what do people say about him?
I don't think we can repeat that on this.
He's too orange. He's a demagogue. He just bullies other people. Way too tan. Fake hair.
I heard he was with fire. Plays with fire. That's kind
I
of
heard weird. He was a total jackass on the set, too. Very demanding. Total diva.
Big time.
Is he running for president? Where are you going there, Greg? I don't know.
He's too orange.
Oh, man. He's with the rebellion. What other color are you going to make him? Gold?
So, this, I believe it's the Secrets of the Force Awakens that is debuting, or maybe it debuted just this past week at South by Southwest in Austin. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, that's an hour long documentary, right? Is that the one?
I think so. I think that's the one. Yeah.
Well, we've actually got a little teaser. I think this is a teaser for that element. I've got another clip here, guys. This is Star Wars The Force Awakens Blu-ray documentary teaser. Check it out.
This feeling came over me that hadn't happened since Tunisia on the first one.
Star Wars seemed like a kind of universe that might accept me.
I just remember thinking, we are about to shoot this thing, and I'm not ready.
I still thought that I was auditioning, that this was the last test. It was the scene that terrified me the most.
This is serious stuff, and we wanted it to be right.
Ben!
That looks awesome. That looks really, really cool. My kids saw that clip and wanted to go see the movie again. It's really exciting.
Hell, I want to go right now. Let's go, guys.
We got like 2 weeks, right?
Can anybody not hear Harrison Ford, though, and just think of Ralph Garman and his little mumble impression he does now, though?
So tough. It is so tough. It's not in Southern California. Ralph Garman is a radio DJ on K-Rock 106.7 who has an incredible Harrison Ford impersonation.
Well, I hear Adam Driver, and all I can hear is, I want some real talk with some real folks. I don't know if it's because of this podcast or if it's because I've watched the SNL skit 500 times. It's just too funny. Too funny. Well, we also had a few of the... Whoa. Was that Chewie in the background?
Yeah, who's killing dogs?
Man. It's me again. It's me.
What's going on over there? My God.
That dog is very upset that there's not a commentary track on the Blu-ray.
That's right. It,
like, Peter Greg is tattooing The Force Awakens on one of the dogs.
So we had some stars from The Force Awakens. These guys have really been active on social media. We've got John Boyega, who's very active on Twitter and Instagram, posting pictures of his visits to Children's Hospital. It was really nice. I don't know if you guys saw that. I thought it was great. And then we also had Daisy Ridley really in the news lately. She, well, among other things, there's a rumor, guys, about Daisy Ridley being eyed as Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider reboot.
Steve, you and I had a conversation about this, and yes. I'm 100% behind this. If you guys haven't played the latest two Tomb Raider games, just amazing, and definitely changed the physique, shall we say, of Lara Croft. But the idea of the game is just so much more adult and violent and crazy, and she just looks like the character from the game. It's almost like they knew she was going to be big. So I'm impressed with that casting decision.
Big enough, though? That is the question, apparently.
Man, I set you up for that, Greg.
Well,
yes, you did.
Well, it's funny that you guys, I think I know where you're headed there. And Daisy was also, interestingly, out on the social media vines defending herself and defending women of all shapes and sizes. There was a picture of her, and, you know, she's, you know, Daisy Ridley. She's looks healthy and, you know, rather thin and slender and fit. And someone put a picture on Instagram. I won't mention the person's names. Actually, it's grayed out here, so I can't see. But this person put a picture of Daisy's character, Rey, in The Force Awakens, saying, I can't believe the unrealistic expectations I'm setting for young girls. Who cast me anyway? Don't they know real women have curves? And so Daisy fought back on that one in a big way. She posts the picture and she says, real women are all shapes and sizes, all ethnicities, all levels of brave, have families, don't have families. I'm a real woman like every other woman in this world. So I thought that was pretty cool that she was, you know, stood up against what essentially was this bully calling her out for being thin. So I was proud of her for that.
Yeah, good for her. I had a snarky comment earlier, but I'm glad that she came out. I'm glad she said that. I hope that they do cast her, and I hope that she portrays that fictional, non-existent character just the way she is, because she's just fine for it.
Yep. I think she'll be great. So, let's see. We also had another star of The Force Awakens, although he was only in Oh, I'd say maybe about 15 seconds, guys? Mark Hamill?
He had a full 45, sir. Sorry.
45 seconds? Okay.
Colt 45 does it every time.
Works.
Lando was in it?
Oh.
Well, Mark Hamill, this article caught my eye on Movie Phone, which I love that Movie Phone is a website now, because back in the day, it was a phone number that you called to figure out what movie times were.
Is it still a service of AOL, Time Warner, and the Los Angeles Times?
You remember, sir.
TV Guide is more of a website now, too. It's so weird.
It's so cool. Well, Mark Hamill, here's the headline. Mark Hamill, if you think Luke is gay, of course he is.
What? Oh, Steve, you're just baiting me now, aren't you?
No,
no. Is that what this is?
No. Okay. It's a real thing. So it says, this is a very brief article. I'll read it to you. Luke Skywalker could be gay, according to Mark Hamill. The inclusion of gay characters in Star Wars has been a hot topic since the release of The Force Awakens, when many fans speculated about a relationship between Finn, played by John Boyega, and Poe, played by Oscar Isaac. That's not likely to happen, but director J.J. Abrams did recently say that he would like to see gay characters in future Star Wars films. But now Hamill points out that maybe there already is a gay character in Star Wars, and one of canon's most important characters. Quote, fans are writing and ask all these questions. I'm bullied in school. I'm afraid to come out. They say to me, could Luke be gay? I'd say it's meant to be interpreted by the viewer, he told The Sun. If you think Luke is gay, of course he is. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. Judge Luke by his character, not by who he loves. And then he posted his some other things on, looks like, Twitter. Mark Hamill saying his sexuality is never directly addressed in the films. Luke is whatever the audience wants him to be, so you can decide for yourself. All the best.
Okay, I'm going off on this one. I'm sorry. I have to go off on it. First of all, I will back up the fact that he states, judge him by his character. Great, that's great. But you know what? You said something else in this, and I want to bring this up. It's never shown what Luke's sexuality is in the films. Okay, that's not true. We've seen some twisted stuff with Luke. I mean, the whole thing with him and his sister drives me absolutely crazy. And we should not shy away from that fact. There was something wrong with Lucas in the first place to put that in there. Even if he didn't think it was going to be in there, it was handled it differently. I'm sorry. And then, somebody jump in. I need a drink.
Okay, so I just want to clarify. You did not like the way that Luke and Leia were portrayed in, what was it, A New Hope or Empire? Where are you going with this, Scott?
Okay, A New Hope. It's a moment of, oh my God, we're about to die. We're going to swing across this this giant chasm here, and the stormtroopers are going to bust through, and she gives him a kiss on the cheek. Oh, that's innocent. That's great. Next movie, she's full on grabbing and making out with a bro in the medical bay. Come on. There's so much craziness going on right there. And then it's like, no, but it's okay. He's gay. No, first of all, he's not gay at this point. He's got an incest problem. We need to tackle that subject right away. There's a problem there, and I know people have talked about it. We need to deal with this. It needs to come out. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But if
he needs to come out, is that what you said?
He needs to come out.
Well, he just did. He said he was gay, Scott. He just came out.
Not that type of coming out.
No, he said he did not say he was gay. He said that if the fans believe that he's gay, then he's gay. He's whatever you want him to be, in other words. And you should respect him for his bravery and his courage, not by who he's attracted to. That's essentially what Mark Hamill is saying.
Luke Skywalker is a unicorn.
Oh, well, that I kind of figured. No, you know what? Here's my thing. If they want to make him a gay character, I'm all for it. Judge him by the character, I get that. Do I enjoy that there are gay characters that are starting to come out in movies? Sorry again for using that. To show up in movies. Yeah, I think it's wonderful. My problem is, and here's where the fan in me kicks in. Maybe a little bit bitter with the fact that Disney has completely destroyed my canon. everything that I've enjoyed. Now they're just trying to take more of Heir to the Empire away from me. I want to see Mara Jade show up. And if Mara Jade shows up, that means Luke cannot be gay. I'm sorry. They get together. They have kids. If they... Man, again, I need another drink.
I think we need to talk about... Because this is where I'm like, you know, okay, so they took away canon. Does that mean you can't go back and read that story, Scott?
No, I get where you're going with this, Greg. Yes, I can continue, but my God, I even have an action figure of the two. What am I supposed to do now? Come on.
I see, because it ruined the collectible value for it, so it's just a profit deal.
Just remember what Alan Moore wrote a long time ago. This is an imaginary story, but then... aren't they all?
Yeah. Dave, I appreciate that, but have you seen Alan Moore?
Yes, I have.
There's a fascinating...
Although I've seen the spell that he cast.
I think he's swimming looking for Nessie.
I think it's called The Mind of Alan Moore or something like that. It's a 2-hour documentary just about him. It is so weird. He is one odd dude. He really is.
I can't go with pulling the Alan Moore reference, but thanks, Greg. Thanks for kind of backing me up on that one. I appreciate his written work, but my God, is that one messed up individual.
Now, Heir to the Empire. That's not legacy. Is that legacy?
I think that's the term for it now. Anything that was expanded universe and canon under Lucas is now considered legacy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
It's crap.
It means they still want to make money off of it.
Yeah.
But it's not real. It's not real canon to the story then?
I think it gives them a license to take whatever they want from those stories without it being canon and make whatever they want canon. So much to the same thing with the planet Coruscant, which was taken from, I believe, Heir to the Empire. It was in that trilogy somewhere.
Yep, you are correct.
And Lucas basically used that in the prequel trilogy and the special edition Return of the Jedi end sequence. So I think it's just one of those things. Legacy is just a term they're throwing out there so they can not have to follow the stories of the characters in the books that have been developed all these years. And anytime they want to pull, like, look at Kylo Ren. My God, it's Darth Revan totally. Like, oh, they changed some of the red color on him and, you know, changed a tiny little bit, like two screws on the front of his mask. Oh, no. It's Kylo Ren. It's not Darth Revan. Okay, whatever. But, yeah. That's it.
You're on a roll, man. I was just going to let you go. Yeah, so he is kind of a weird mishmash of a lot of the, you know, expanded universe characters, because he's a mix of he's a mix of Revan from the Knights of the Old Republic games, and Plagueis Plagueis, whatever, right? So
right, exactly.
and it's a mix of the two Solo kids the two Skywalker kids I didn't read any of those expanded universe, but one of them turns to the dark side though. So
it's the Solo kids. There's three Solo kids and it's two of them kind of mashed up together. You're correct, Greg.
Sounds weird for you to say there's three Solo kids. How is that?
That did hurt my brain a little bit. Again, I'm going to go out one more time on this. I don't care if they make Luke gay. I think that's fine. However, knowing as many gay people that I know, friends, even family, I will say this one thing. He cannot be gay because no gay man would dress the way Luke does and go that completely unshaven. Every single one of my friends are wonderfully kept, looked very neat. They would not dress like Luke. I'm sorry.
Have you ever had a Sean scrotum?
It's quite breathtaking. I suggest you try it. All right, let's move on here. So we had another story about The Force Awakens, and that's J.J. Abrams in the news, guys, talking about the now what's become an infamous part of The Force Awakens at the end when Princess Leia and Rey hug. They see each other for the first time and they hug. And that's not what's the controversial part. The controversial piece is the Chewbacca snub that Chewbacca is just sort of ignored by Leia, and you know, having his lifelong friend Han Solo destroyed, killed. Oops, sorry for the spoiler if you haven't seen the movie. Han does.
Oh my God!
I know. No!
And
going to see it this weekend, man.
So there's this snub, and JJ's been making the rounds, and he actually was doing an interview on slashfilm.com for his new movie that he's been out promoting, 10 Cloverfield Lane, which, by the way, I heard was fantastic. Has anyone seen that movie yet?
I have not, no.
Negative, sir.
I've heard it's really good. Getting good reviews. But so JJ was asked, why did Leia hug Rey instead of Chewbacca? And here's what he said. Quote, that was probably one of the mistakes I made in that. My thinking at the time was that Chewbacca, despite the pain he was feeling, was focused on trying to save Finn and getting him taken care of. So I tried to have Chewbacca go off with him and focus on Rey, and then have Rey find Leia and Leia find Rey. The idea being that both of them were strong in the Force and having never met would know each other. He goes on to say that the reunion would be a meeting and a reunion all in one, and a sort of commiseration of their mutual loss. So what do you think about this? Is this retconning by J.J. Abrams? Or, I mean, I thought it was fascinating that he just copped to, he feels like he made a mistake there.
All right, I got to just put this out there. Sorry if I interrupted,
no.
Please. Oh, okay. One, I also heard that there were scenes, maybe they weren't shot, but the idea was what you were saying, Steve, that Chewbacca was supposed to be helping, like, move Finn out of the ship or whatever, moving him to the medical bay or something to that effect. Don't know how true that is. Haven't seen actual scenes or stills from that. The other thing is definitely not from the Lucas camp, because I don't think Lucas would say he's sorry for making a mistake. I mean, I give JJ a lot of props for just saying, I kind of messed that one up a little bit, although it kind of falls into line that they're both Force sensitive and they would, I get that, okay, whatever. And last thing I just want to say is Chewbacca just needs to pop Leia one time, because this is the second disc. First it's the metal, now it's this. It's like, oh, Chewie, oh, no hug for you. Sorry.
Well, okay, first of all, Lucas has never made any mistakes he needs to apologize for. Just ask him. Second, the snub of Chewbacca is actually keeping with the whole symmetry of The Force Awakens ripping off A New Hope, so I don't have a problem with it. And but three, I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I that was something that didn't really ring true for me when I saw it. I love that Abrams is just saying, yeah, you know what? I think that's a mistake. I felt this way doing it, tried to construct it this way, and it doesn't work in hindsight. I absolutely love that he just came out and said, yeah, that was my fault. I should have done that differently.
I think I'm going to be falling the minority in this camp and say it didn't bother me in the slightest. I didn't even notice it until it was brought up as a thing on the internet. Hmm. Sorry.
Well, I did notice it, although I wasn't taken aback by it or offended by it, but I didn't really think about it until somebody was upset about it online. But I did notice it. I kind of thought it was a little awkward. I just thought, like, it was a moment that they could have very easily had, you know, Chewbacca and Leia embrace, although they already had embraced earlier in the film, if you remember, when Leia and Han meet, you know, are reunited for the first time. So I guess maybe one Leia hug is all Chewie gets. I don't know. But I did notice it didn't bother me, but then I kind of thought it kind of is a snub. I mean, when you watch it again, you know, Leia just totally blows him off and goes right to Rey. So just interesting. I agree. I think, it was pretty big of, I agree with you, Scott. It's pretty big of JJ to cop to that making a mistake.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say that, you know what, Leia just considers Chewbacca her dog, and you know what, she loves her dog, but how often does she hug her dog, you know? I mean, she's as long as he's not shitting on the floor, then he's fine. But maybe he left a giant Wookiee turd, you know, next to her bed before he left or something like that. And she's like,
I thought he was just a walking rug.
And I thought they smelled bad on the outside. Yeah.
So what you're saying, Greg, is you can love your dog, but don't love your dog.
You're picking up what I'm putting down, sir.
Well, you know, actually, now that I'm thinking more about it, what I remember thinking when I was watching the film, that I wonder if she's pissed at Chewie because Chewie's the one that Han's been hanging out with. He's like Han's drinking buddy, you know, kept him away from being home all those years. And so,
see, I almost want to go the opposite direction, and I'm going to throw this in there. I'm surprised Chewie, again, didn't come off that ramp off the Falcon and be like, you killed my drinking buddy. What the hell? There's a problem there. Back this up a bit. The other thing, I didn't catch it in the original presentation. The second, maybe third time around, I started to notice something weird about that scene. You kind of touched on this, Steve. When they're coming off there, I didn't notice it was Chewie who was getting snubbed, but I thought, what the heck is she hugging Rey? She doesn't even know Rey. So other than this now, whatever press tour JJ is going on saying that, oh, they're force sensitive, they know each other in that sense, it's like some strange girl just comes walking off the Falcon. It's like, hey, and just grabs her. I'm like, a little awkward.
Yeah, I think that is the first meeting between them, isn't it? That one.
I believe so.
Yes.
Well, that's what we're led to believe, unless Leia met Rey when Leia was a little, or when Rey was a little girl.
Oh. You know, that's a topic we put off for many, many weeks, and eventually we have to get to that because I have some things I want to throw out there just based off of something that I read. But I think that's still upcoming. I don't think we're quite ready for that yet.
We're going to have to book a solid 30, 40 minutes of the show for that topic. For what is Rey's last name? That is going to be a huge topic, I think.
Fett.
Ooh, I like that.
the overlying thesis of this story that I will present, you know, when we go, is basically anybody with a penis can be the father.
Except for Luke, because he's gay. Right. So.
Yes, exactly. For Luke. As we've now determined, scratch him off the list.
you can't even say that, Greg, because look at Shmi, right? Shmi, she just got suddenly, boom, immaculate conception. Wow.
That's right. She was force pregnant.
Good Lord.
For the record, I love that Empire Strikes Back, the incest kiss movie, is now a Disney product. That's fantastic to me.
Well, talking about another Disney product that's coming out pretty soon.
For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded with a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
A rogue band of resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance. Request 1 round elimination ASAP. Roger, stand 1 round elimination. Stand by.
And by the way, in case you were wondering, that's Pablo Hidalgo announcing Rogue One at Star Wars Celebration in that little clip we play before this segment, which is, of course, Rogue One Reconnaissance. We've got a few stories about Rogue One. Still no trailer. Crickets. But we do have a couple of stories that are interesting. Well, first of all, I got to say, as of today, that's Friday, March 18th, we have 267 days from the, what the heck is that? Sorry, Scott's just
got a Lucha Libre on us.
Donned a Lucha Libre mask.
It's my Star Wars Lucha Libre, man.
Man.
Come on.
I don't want to know what you use that for, Scott.
I am cutting you off, sir.
it really looks kind of painful. It almost does look like a torture device, too.
Man, it does.
It really hurts. Oh, my God. All right.
Well, talking about torture devices, there's my bridge. It looks like maybe one of the most evil characters of all of Star Wars, guys, is going to make an appearance in Rogue One. And that is Grand Moff Tarkin, played by Peter Cushing. Have you read this article, guys? Because this is some fascinating stuff if they can pull this off.
I have read this, but please continue.
Yeah, so essentially the rumor is that, of course, Peter Cushing passed away a few years back. And the rumor is that his likeness will be included through the magic of CGI in Rogue One. According to dailymail.co.uk, a source told the Daily Mail on Sunday, and I always love it when it's a source, unnamed source, but the source said that, quote, "This is one of the most complex and costly CGI recreations ever. Cushing is a pivotal plotline, as he was the one to create Darth Vader, and there's a whole backstory that will come out."
I think the hardest part of that CGI is recreating his bunny slippers that he wore on set.
Right. In fact, they actually mentioned that because he famously did not wear boots. They were uncomfortable for him, so you never see his boots on camera. So he wore slippers of some kind, and they talk about this in the article. It says they're going through hours of old footage from the horror movies that he's famous for.
Hammer horror films are
right,
great.
Exactly, the Hammer horror films. And they're recreating his legs to produce realistic movements for this movie. So I just thought that was fascinating. What do you guys think?
You know, it just seems like they're going to come to this spot, you know, here in the next few years where they're going to just digitally reproduce actors. And so they're going to raid the library of the Hammer horror films, and they will have Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee as some Count Dooku coming in, and, you know, Alec Guinness from The Bridge Over the River Kwai, and then you've got these young versions of these actors that they can just build in a computer simulation and have them act the movie and not have to pay actors at all anymore. I don't know what I think about this. I don't know.
It's been around for a while as a possibility. I seem to remember back when I was college age, there was a Dirt Devil commercial where they took some Fred Astaire footage and digitally inserted him dancing with a Dirt Devil product in there. Mm-hmm. And that sparked a lot of the questions that you're talking about, Greg, on, you know, where do we draw the line at using a dead actor's footage and getting permission for it? And where is this going to go for the future of actors? Because if you look at video games now, where they're just designing characters from the ground up, the level of reality that you get there is pretty impressive. And once you start to actually take it to the next step, which was an article I had kicked around earlier today about virtual reality and how that's starting to take shape, once you get there, I mean, are we going to need actors for any of this stuff anymore?
Yeah.
Negative.
Yeah.
Nerds. It's fascinating. Nerds in their bathrobes. It's all it's going to be.
That's, you're talking about us.
I'm curious to see how it's going to be pulled off. I'm kind of against the idea of just recreating an actor for the sake of something like this. However, there's secondary footage, cut footage that was not included in the film of him filming scenes that were either the same scenes we've seen but done differently or scenes that were completely edited out. If they are capable of putting him in some sort of a cameo sense, I might be okay with that if they can pull it off realistically enough. But the idea of just recreating an actor who has died is just seems ridiculous to me, especially if it's completely CG. I'm not convinced. I'm not a big CGI guy. It bugs me, especially when you start looking at the realistic human features and stuff like that. I don't think they're still not there, and I don't necessarily want or need to see that.
James Cameron does not like this podcast now. Thank you.
we're down to 85 Son likes on Facebook. Well, this article actually mentions that CGI has been used before to complete movies when actors have died during production, including when Oliver Reed suffered a fatal heart attack while filming Gladiator in 1999. And then the other thing that comes to mind, the other movie is, wasn't it Tron, the reboot of Tron, that they reproduced the younger version of, shoot, who's the actor in Tron?
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges. Boxleiter.
They brought back the young version of that character to play against the older version, which I think was kind of cool. But and it kind of worked, you know. It's not perfect, but maybe it's advanced enough since then that we won't be able to tell the difference.
It fit Tron, but yeah, I'm still not convinced. If it fits the movie and it fits the scene, I guess I understand why they're doing it, but I don't know. Sorry, Greg, I think I interrupted you there.
No, I was going to say the Tron thing where it did look good, and I think Steven, you and I talked about it, it's just that they call it the uncanny valley where there's something that looks just slightly off of normal, not quite right. And there, you know, it wasn't quite looking like the Polar Express had invaded the world of Tron, right. But it was close to that.
It was darn close. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, look at Jar Jar. They reproduced Jar Jar pretty well for F1. I mean, come on.
Oh, now you're just killing me.
Well, to back away from the CGI implications of all of that, the story plot point of Tarkin being involved with the creation of Vader, that's a pretty big retcon if that's true.
Yeah, I read that and I'm glad you caught that. I was wondering if that's a mistake. If that's just a factual error on the part of this writer who quoted a source.
Or if they're just going to digitally insert him into the scene with the Emperor and, you know, arise, Lord Vader. No! And Tarkin's there going, damn it, I can't believe I thought of this. It's such a bad idea.
Well, I will say that at the end of episode 3, after Vader is created, there is one shot during the big wrap-up of Revenge of the Sith where Vader meets a young Tarkin-looking actor, and I am 99% sure that's supposed to be Tarkin. It's not a digital recreation, but I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Tarkin. So I think their history together starts right there.
Yeah, you are correct. That is supposed to be a young Tarkin, although I don't think on screen it's ever alluded to.
Yeah.
It's absolutely Tarkin, but it's obviously a younger actor who's playing him. It's not a CG creation.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's your jumping off point for their history together right there.
Absolutely. Yep. Nope. That was Tarkin, and I can't think of the actor's name. I just had it on the tip of my tongue because I read something about it the other day. But Turd Ferguson. Uncredited Turd Ferguson. All right. So we did have one more kind of fun story here that did mention Rogue One. This is how far we're going for Rogue One news, guys, because we're desperate. There's no trailer. Where's that trailer? But who needs a trailer when we can talk about setting sail with Jedi and Sith announcing Star Wars Day at Sea in 2017? That's right. You can bring your family and loved ones on a Star Wars cruise. And on that cruise in 2017, you'll be able to watch, that's right, Rogue One, as well as all the other movies as well.
Won't we technically be seeing Rogue One this year, not on a cruise, though?
I suppose, yes.
Yes.
Some of us will.
Excellent. This does sound like a fun thing, though. If you have kids, take them along.
Oh,
fun for the whole family.
Oh, yeah. Hang out with the characters, go to a buffet.
Have a Mai Tai with Vader.
Watch one of the movies. Go to a buffet. Go to the pool. Go to the buffet. Awesome.
Have a tequila sunrise with Tarkin.
Have you guys done a cruise? I've never been on a cruise. Any kind of a cruise.
Yes.
I've
been on a couple of cruises. Yeah.
Will I like it if I decide to do it?
Yeah, it depends on where you're going and what time of year you're going. That's my view.
As long as it's not one of those poop cruises like they have in the Gulf.
And we thought somebody had suggested it to us, and we ended up going for a summer, the end of summer, Mexican Riviera. Worst experience of our lives.
It sounds so exotic.
You don't want to be going down that direction in August ever. I'm going to back this up to Rogue One. Sorry about cruises and all that stuff. Star Wars cruises, yay. Everything else, boo. real quick.
Yeah.
So we had discussed when the Rogue One trailer was going to be coming out. And I think it was kind of split with some of us. Some thinking it would be in front of Civil War. Some thinking it was going to be in front of what was the other Disney film coming out that we mentioned, guys?
Maybe the Jungle Book?
Jungle Book. Thank you, Dave. I got another theory. Now that we have the release, do you think it might be added on the disc, the Blu-ray release on April 5th?
I think one of us mentioned that 2 weeks ago, actually.
That would be sneaky.
That would be sneaky.
Yeah.
What a great way to drive sales, though.
And it's Disney, and it's Star Wars, and yeah, they're gonna make an extra billion or two off of this.
Well, that was some conjecture online about the Peter Cushing recreation, was that folks were thinking maybe that's why we haven't seen a trailer yet.
Hmm.
Which I'm sure you could release other footage that does not include Peter Cushing, but...
Yeah, look at Civil War with Spider-Man. They released, like, what, 5 trailers? Took forever to see Spider-Man on that thing.
Well, and if you bounce around YouTube long enough, you will find some Rogue One trailers that people are claiming to have snuck out of Lucasfilm. And, you know, it's nothing extraordinary, but there's a couple out there that I saw one with a couple of AT-ATs, a couple of AT-ATs, and with a TIE fighter flying by, and nothing extraordinary, but they're out there. So who knows? Who knows? Hopefully, we'll know soon.
Excellent.
Yeah, I saw a couple of them. Weren't those things that they had shown at Celebration last year, Steve? I think you had mentioned something about that.
Yeah, there was one that was shown at Celebration, and I did not see this that particular session, unfortunately. But they did show what they called a moving poster, which was a 30-second trailer that it was audio footage of like a sort of that wartime radio, you know, chatter. And a nice image of like a jungle-like planet, and the camera pans up and you see the Death Star in the hazy distance in the atmosphere as it's being built. The one I saw online was a little bit different than that. It also showed sort of a jungle-ish planet with two AT-ATs and some TIE fighters flying around, but no characters. There was talk of at the recent shareholder meeting for Disney that Bob Iger introduced a trailer and shared just to the shareholders or showed to the shareholders. And there was a lot of talk about that, but there's no video of it. No one snuck any shots of that one. But they talk about the person that did see it talks about all black stormtroopers. All
Shadow Troopers, huh?
Shadow Troopers, yep.
We can't call them those because that's not canon or legacy or who knows what.
These are Storm Shadow Troopers.
Damn it!
But I'm a big bad Shadow Trooper.
Where's my Lucasfilm paperwork that tells me what I can and cannot say? Seriously, Shadow Troopers, come on.
your old canon to new canon conversion chart is still in the mail.
I swear, if they start calling them Black Troopers, I'm going to freak out.
There are also some of the old style Stormtroopers, but chrome, which I think would look really cool. And then there were some old style AT-ATs with the like that had a different color on them or something. So there were some details out there shared online, but we don't have a clip for it, unfortunately.
I'm not sold on the chrome thing yet. Captain Phasma left a bad taste in my mouth. So until she can redeem herself in Episode 8, screw the chrome thing. I'm tired of it. She better do something good in that next film. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. She was a disappointment for sure. I thought the worst part for her was, though, that she gave up. She lowered the shields just like that. You know, I mean, come on. She's like supreme stormtrooper. She gets that designation, right, with the chrome and everything, and she's a leader. And she just, oh, yeah, point a gun at me, sure. I'll let down the shields for you, no problem.
Seriously, I'm going off on this again, because she's like a bad hall monitor in that movie. Seriously, the only thing she does is like, hey, why do you have your helmet off? Put your helmet back on. What? That gets you a chrome outfit? No, I don't think so. I'm done.
Maybe, just maybe, yeah. She meant to give up the codes on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Damn you, Greg, and your slackness.
All right. Saying. Well,
I give her some chance.
I think your dogs agree, too. They're excited. Well, guys, we've got one more story, and I almost hesitate to go here, giving the tenor of this show, talking about incest and gay characters.
Trifecta, baby. What you got for us?
Not gay characters. Who knows?
Or, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Sexually ambiguous characters. Guys, there's Star Wars Burlesque in Los Angeles. Have you seen this?
I'm out.
Not in person.
Well, according to CourtneyCruz.com, there's a nice picture there at CourtneyCruz.com of a rather curvaceous lady wearing a white one-piece bathing suit with a stormtrooper belt around the midsection, and she's clutching a stormtrooper's helmet to the left that looks like some Playboy bunny ears on that helmet, guys. And she's standing rather provocatively. The title below her, Star Girls, Volume 2, The Force is a-Shaken. I am not making this up.
This is Courtney Cruz like Ted Cruz,
yeah,
not Courtney
it's,
Cruz
uh,
like Tom Cruise.
Right. It's Courtney and CourtneyCruz.com.
And I'm sure Ted Cruz would appreciate the Star Wars bump from the traffic.
And then it says tickets and info available at Devil's Playground, LA. .com, and it's later this month, and at least one member of the Wretched Hive is planning on going to this show.
Only strictly to review for the show. That's all I'm saying.
It's 100%
tax deductible.
Yeah, it's a tax deduction at that point.
Okay.
Wait a minute, are we making money on the show?
We will after that episode.
No, but only one of us is losing money on the show. I'll tell you that.
Yep. I do have to say that this is, I believe, the second time they've done this review, and it looks like it may have traveled. I'm not exactly sure, so don't hold me to that. But the titles of the cities, from each city they travel to, they change the title of the review. So there are such titles as Star Wars Burlesque, The Empire Strips Back, nice. And what's the other one is A Nude Hope.
Should it be a nearly nude hope? I mean, really, a nearly nude hope. Although,
sounds classy. I'm there.
Hey, what was the first one? The Empire Strips Back. That's pretty good.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this isn't a licensed show.
A licensed show? I hope so.
Are you suggesting that Lucasfilm does not sanction this show?
I am. I'm going to stand firm in that that assumption on my part.
I think it's pretty safe to assume there's been no Disney sanction, no Disney approval on this one. Our podcast, actually.
We'll have to get a man on the street and do some live interviews with some of these performers and find that information out for you, the listeners.
All right, I think Scott, you have an assignment. All right, it's time. Get ready. Here comes the bad Star Wars battle.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Watch that crossfire, boys.
It's the bad Star Wars battle.
Good. Our first catch of the day.
Right now, I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Which bad Star Wars will win or lose?
Patience, my friend.
Wah!
That got him.
It's not fair.
I hate you.
Good job.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
It's the Bad Star Wars battle. Are you ready? Are you ready for round two?
Round two.
Tonight.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. Round two features. Well, actually, let's recap. Round one was last week. We had Dave defeating, well, the Clone Wars movie. I will say defeating Nico's Star Wars droids. The Wretched Heap. What was it called? Something like
that. The Great Heap.
The Great Heap. The Great Heap.
And basically that was Jabba sex beating droid sex. That was basically what that came down to.
Oh man, that was a tough battle, and I think we have another tough battle on our hands tonight with Greg's Caravan of Courage against the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I'm gonna correct you on that, Steve. I believe it's an Ewok Adventure Caravan of Courage.
I stand corrected.
Oh. Do not mess up a bad title.
All right, so
Scott, I'm going to correct you.
Oh,
and it is Caravan of Courage and Ewok Adventure.
Oh, damn it!
mark that on your calendar, folks. That does not happen to superfan Scott Ivansky very often.
I blame the alcohol.
So, Greg, we have not decided who will go first.
We have not.
So how
would you care? Would you care to have the honor, or would you? Are you deferring to me?
Let's Rochambeau for it.
Rochambeau
on camera here. Yep. All right. Okay. Ready? Here. One, two. Ah, damn it! All right, your choice. I got paper. You got scissors. So
okay. I will take the first shot.
All right.
Here we go. Caravan of Courage, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Wait, hold on. Hang on 1 second. We got a timer. Okay. We got our timer, Scott.
Hang on. Oh man, I'm slacking on
that. So let's just review the rules here. So we said you got 5 minutes, but we were a little bit loose with that with the round one. So I think you got about 5 minutes.
Okay, and before we start here, if you could just have probably clips 1, 2, be ready for 1, 2, and then I think maybe 5 and 6. I will call them out as needed.
Okay.
Yeah, 1, 2, 5, and 6 is what we'll be looking at there. And I'll call them out as we need them.
I believe we limited to 3 clips, you cheater, but whatever.
We did.
1, 2, 5, and 6. That's 3. Or no. Okay, so we'll go we'll
math is so hard.
We will
math is really hard.
See, because 1 and 6 are really the same clip. Really they are. That's all I'm saying.
Well, listen, we all know that mine is worse than yours. So if you need a handicap, you want an extra clip, fine, whatever.
Right. I'm going to play by the rules from last time. 5 minutes is the time, correct?
Yeah, but we were pretty loose with it. So just kind of get us close to 5 minutes.
So you give the heads up at 5 minutes, and then there's a 30-second closing argument section.
Right, it was a 20 to 30-second closing argument time frame there. So
okay.
I will let you know.
Good deal. All right, so let us know, Scott, when you're ready. Just say ready, go, and Greg, you're on.
Okay, Greg, are you ready?
I am ready, sir. The dogs are ready behind me. We're all ready to go.
Let's begin.
All right, let's take you back to 1986, ladies and gentlemen. Take you back to 1986. This is the story of the Caravan of Courage, an Ewok Adventure, Caravan of Courage. It really doesn't matter. What it really is a cautionary tale wrapped up in a children's story. They had an after-school special budget that they decided they were going to make a network extravaganza out of. And while they started with the concept of Ewoks on Endor, they really couldn't stick with a 2-hour special for that one, so they had to throw in a little bit of Cheech and Chong with Lord of the Rings just to make sure they got their point across. We start this epic adventure with our young hero Mace. Not Mace Windu, just Mace, and his sister Sindel as they crash land on Endor and are captured by Ewoks. Now, of course, whenever you're captured by Ewoks, what's the first thing they do? String up the guys to be eaten and bring the girls back to the love den, because it turns out Ewoks are not only cannibals, they also are rapists. Yes, Ewoks are rapists. That's what they do. So they tie up poor young Mace. They bring him back to their pad. The girl goes to the love crib, but she gets sick. So if she's sick, they've got to pump her full of drugs. So they bring her back, and they start pumping her full of these drugs. She starts to feel better, but the Ewoks, seeing as that they're also high as fuck at this point, just forget to eat Mace. So he gets out as well and comes into the love den just to see what's up. So here, we're going to play clip number one, Steve. This is what happens when Mace comes in.
I want my mommy. Gotcha, Lisa. Blurtle. Mace.
Hey, sis, how you feeling? Feeling a lot better?
It hurts, Mace.
It hurts. Just tell me, watching this thing just hurts. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, they're not just pedophiles and cannibals. There's also a deeper, darker secret to be had here, too. Steve, hit number two.
Push inside. Furry. Push. Furry. Yeah.
Furries?
I wish we had furry creatures like you where I came from.
Oh. Furries?
They have this poor girl so whacked out of her mind on drugs that now she's fantasizing about furries, ladies and gentlemen. Furries. Don't let your children watch this show. It is dangerous to the youth of America. They are pumping this poor girl full of drugs and teaching her all about furries. So, that aside, the kids decide it's time to go. So they've got to take a hike from the forest moon of Endor to the desert. Why there's a desert on the forest moon of Endor, I don't fucking know. But there is a desert on the forest moon of Endor. So you've got to walk to the great lair of the Gorax, because he's the one who's holding the parents. How they got there, I don't fucking know either. All of a sudden, they just showed up, and there's parents there, too. Why didn't they take the kids from the rapist, murdering, pedophile Ewoks in the first place? Why did they let them wander off? Apparently, it's okay. You just got to let them go. It's all right. You know, so the end of the movie, I have to skip way ahead right now because I've only got 5 minutes. So you have to skip way ahead. And after they go through this gigantic Benny Hill sketch of rescuing the parents, which basically evolves to them running around playing a shell game, just really screaming for Yakety Sax playing behind the scene as the Gorax is chasing all the Ewoks around. They rescue the parents, they kill the Gorax, and they save the day and end the movie on a familiar note. We need a little bit of number five, please.
Yub nub!
Oh, no.
Yub nub indeed. Yub nub, ladies and gentlemen. That is how we end our presentation. Except I may have wrapped up a little bit early, and that's okay, because there's really only one way you can just sum up watching this whole show. Please play number six.
It hurts, Mace.
It hurts.
Ladies.
All right. Was that the end?
That's it. That's the end.
Oh, you came in under 5 minutes.
How far did I get?
That's what she said.
You know, there's a theme to this episode that it's just, I don't know what's going on.
It's so great. 4 minutes and 56 seconds.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
Wow.
Wow.
Perfect.
Well done.
Time that thing down.
Well done.
To the T.
If you want to add anything in the next 20 or 30 seconds, any little tidbits, you are more than welcome to.
Well, you know, there's a whole undercurrent of Burl Ives narrating this, and Burl Ives cannot save this piece of crap, because it really is frightening that these kids are allowed around these Ewoks. They are rapists. They are murderers. I'm assuming some of them are good people, but it is just not the best that we have to offer from humanity.
Okay.
Fermanity.
Thank you, Greg. That was excellent.
Well
all
done.
Right, Steve.
Well done, Greg.
Oh my
all right,
God.
Let me cue up my the YouTube. You guys in for a treat here. All right, I think I am ready to go.
Okay, let's roll.
All right, well,
guys, it's my pleasure to defend undoubtedly the worst Star Wars product ever produced, the Star Wars Holiday Special. It's, as I will describe in my argument, it's been widely panned, not just by fans, by critics alike. The Star Wars Holiday Special absolutely defies common sense with horribly contrived plot points, characters, assaults the senses with cardboard acting, strained singing, yes, there are songs, and crosses the line into absolute abuse of the audience, not once, not twice, but for the nearly 2 hours of absurdity. In fact, I mentioned TV critics, many have noted that it's quite possibly the worst thing ever televised, period. So let's get into the story. The story centers around Chewbacca's family, who is about to celebrate Life Day, which is their most important celebration of the year. And actually, Life Day was made up specifically for this special, doesn't show up anywhere else in the Star Wars universe that I've seen. And it occurs every 3 years, which is about the same frequency that Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders make sense. But that's an aside. Anyhow, so Chewbacca's family, Mala and Lumpy and Itchy. Mala is Chewbacca's wife. They're really sad that Chewie won't be around to celebrate Life Day. And their son Lumpy is sad, and the father Itchy is sad. Chewie's mother isn't around, apparently. And I think it becomes obvious why Chewie's mother isn't around, Itchy's wife, because it turns out Itchy is, I'm not making this up, Itchy is into Wookiee porn. He's into Wookiee porn. In fact, I'm pretty sure he has a Wookiee orgasm during the episode. I'm not kidding. It's totally obvious. And in fact, the producers wanted to push the boundaries of this show. They're quoted as saying they wanted to push the soft porn envelope as far as they could. This is a children's show played during the holidays. It's horrible. It's wrong. It's inappropriate. And really, it should never have aired. It's awful. Anyway, we'll get to those clips. But the show centers around this family, and they're waiting for Chewie to get home. That's the plot. They are simply waiting for Chewbacca to get home. So you see them do stuff around the house. You see them watch a cooking show with guest Harvey Korman, who is funny. I look at Harvey Korman and anything he's ever done and I start laughing. He's just not funny in this ripoff of the chick that picks the Hunger Games contestants. He sort of looks like that, except he first came first, I guess, so maybe Hunger Game ripped him off. I don't know. Explains a lot about the Hunger Games. They show a music video to an Imperial officer. It's a plot point that it's not important. But in the best, you know, 70s shtick possible, he totally digs it, man. It's Jefferson Airplane. They show a full 3-minute video of Jefferson Airplane. You're just watching them play. It's like a music video from the 70s in the middle of the center of the Star Wars story. It's totally insane. So, but the best part, and I've saved a few clips here. So the best part is the first 13 minutes of the show, and yes, I timed it. There's no English spoken until 13 minutes and 25 seconds into the show. All you hear is Wookiee talk. Minutes of that. Now, it's interesting in that the ratings for this show were pretty good for the first hour of the show. Second hour totally dropped off, which I'm sure the advertisers were really pleased with. It's like the Super Bowl when it's a blowout, except in this one, all sides lost. Okay, it was just awful. So I mentioned Grandpa Itchy and his sort of, horny tendencies. And so let me set this up. Grandpa is a little upset. And so Lumpy's mom, Mala, sets him up as one of these like 60s hair dryers, things that goes on the top of his head like an inverted hard-boiled egg thing that it lowers down over his head. And he's treated to a little visit from Diane Carroll.
Oh, yes. I can feel my creation. I'm getting your message. Are you getting mine? Oh, we are excited, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Steve, I'll give you that as the your end closing piece. Like,
well, let me just...
No, give him a closing argument. It's okay.
You'll give him that as the climax of his presentation?
Lord knows it was mine.
I give you at least another 20 seconds on that because I couldn't... I'm sorry, I couldn't cut that.
No, that's okay. I'm. Thank you for letting me get it in. I'll just end with... Okay. I've got a quote from... There's wonderful guys over at Stuff You Should Know Podcast did a show just about this Star Wars product, about the holiday special. This is what sets my product aside from all the others. There have been stories and specials written specifically about how bad it is. I quote Stuff You Should Know, "One of the worst things ever aired on television. That's not hyperbole. It's really that bad. It's a train wreck in every single sense of the word from top to bottom. It's extraordinarily difficult to overstate how bad this is. The defense rests."
Wow. Wow.
Fantastic, sir. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just drink a bottle right now because, guys, I got to tell you, from last week, which was two steaming piles of crap, to this week, dinosaur-sized piles of steaming crap. Oh, my God. There's a moment where I just need to go in. I need to go to Skywalker Ranch. I need to find the people that were involved, and I need to have conversations with them. I need this. I'm going to die an unfulfilled person who doesn't know why the hell people are thinking about this kind of stuff, let alone making it happen. Wow. Greg, you went first, so I'm going to review that real quick. Sadly, I remember watching that live on television in, what was it, 1986, did you say? Okay. Oh, everything you said rang true. And in 86, being the younger version of myself, I probably still felt that way. And to hear you say those things, oh my God. And to hear that quote, oh, that's just horrible, man. That's horrible. Mace? Serious? Oh. It hurts, Mace.
It hurts.
Steve, I got to tell you, the competition is solid and strong, and the holiday special is definitely up there in some of the most incredibly terrible television ever filmed. And Ewoks, whatever the hell you want to call it, the great Ewok adventure of Caravan of Crap, seriously, the two of these side by side, it really is unbelievable. We as Star Wars fans have to put up with this stuff. But I have to, and this, I had a hard time deciding because you guys both presented this so beautiful. But Steve, I'm going to go into a quick little review of yours. There's just too much crazy junk, and it's not a holiday special. It's a shit-a-day special. That's what it should be called. There is softcore porn going on with a Wookiee. There's something about stroking the Wookiee is almost basically mentioned in this thing. And then second, you have 13 minutes of Wookiee language. We don't need that. It's terrifying. There's no subtitles.
What was that, Wookiees talking, or was that humpback whales mating?
Yes. Yes, sir. It was that. Here's the thing, too. I also know from watching this damn thing so many times, there is a redeeming value with the holiday special. I do appreciate the Boba Fett cartoon that happens midway through this. I don't think that saves this. Even the Imperial troopers that come in and storm the house just hang out. Like they're just waiting for the wife to make them a Wookiee meal or something. I'm like, that's not what stormtroopers do. It was killing me. But you didn't mention one thing, and I will say this. The thing that pushed it over the edge, and Greg, you did have a beautiful, beautiful presentation on this, but I can't get over the fact that Princess Leia sang in this, and it is not good. It still gives me chills. and not the good kind. I'm going with Holiday Special on this.
Thank you so much. It was an uphill battle for me, Steve. It was your fight to lose. I commend you, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I'm gonna celebrate with a little bit of Leia.
We celebrate a day of peace.
Day of
peace. A day of
harmony. Okay, insert sound effect with
Play number six.
Needle coming off the record there.
Play number six.
Oh,
it hurts,
so,
it's it hurts.
Oh, my gosh.
Space.
Greg, you seriously had me in tears, man. I actually stepped away from the Skype and had to wipe my face. I'm like, I'm crying.
Well, I think I had to hit a home run, and I think I got it to the warning track. But, Steve, you did it, man.
Well, you mentioned, it was mine to lose. I think I just had more material than you had to work with, frankly. Mine ran longer than yours.
Well, I got to say, I was a little nervous for you going into this, Steve, because a lot of times when someone is widely expected to win something, that's when it gets flubbed up.
Yeah.
It
really was close. I was actually leaning towards Greg after your presentation. I'm like, oh, man, the only thing that brought it back was all the stuff you started to bring up. It really did. Oh, seriously.
Yeah. I hope everybody gets, you didn't play much of the Leia song, but I hope everybody gets that she's singing words to the tune of the Star Wars theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so bad. And the last note she hits is just a little flat. And it's just so perfect. It's so perfect. Well, thank you. I will cherish this with the deep memories of and wonderful memories of this day. And
it's not over, sir.
I'm grateful for that. But yeah, this is merely the semifinal. So we have a battle of titans next time, guys.
In honor of that singing, I'm putting her up right now.
We've got Monkey Face Leia on the Skype. So in 2 weeks, we've got Dave's Star Wars The Clone Wars movie versus the Star Wars Holiday Special. And Dave, any thoughts before we let you go here as you prepare to take on the Holiday Special next week?
Just that you're going down, my friend.
All right. Okay.
You know, should we, since this is the finals, should we turn this into a panel? Since there are now three of us, and there can be a deciding vote in here, should we turn this into a panel of voters?
I like that. Yep.
Yeah.
Nico, you up for that? I'm going to say he says yes.
Yep. Nico agrees.
What happened to Nico?
I don't know.
He's twerking the moonfish right now, but he agrees.
Goodness. I did not even realize. I clicked the mute button during that whole thing on my Skype. And I had so many "that's what she said," so it's not even fair.
I need a sound clip of you saying "that's what she said." I'll just insert it in the appropriate places.
Always in the appropriate places.
You know, there's been a theme running through this show. I don't know.
Took a dark, dark turn.
You're making me wheeze.
I think Scott started it off, and we all just ran with it, man. Interesting.
Wretched
show.
Hive After Dark.
The Red Shoe Diaries of Wretched Hive people. Folks.
All right, let's blow this popsicle joint here. Well, we promised you a big show. And I think we delivered, guys. We would love to hear from you, our faithful listeners. You can email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com.
Please email us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we haven't heard from anybody yet, have we?
I got one email, and it was from one of the Wretched Five's wives. So
you
that
did?
Doesn't even count.
Wait, is my wife emailing you? I don't know something about her.
You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. We're on Instagram at @thewretchedhive_podcast. And we're on Twitter. We have any tweets out there recently? Social media?
I have not tweeted anything recently.
Okay.
I think you and I kind of share the Twitter feed, and I have not tweeted anything within the past 2 weeks.
Well, it's @wretchedhivepod.
There you go.
And follow us, and you probably won't get any tweets, but we'll try to be better about that. And lastly, you can search for us as always on iTunes. Search The Wretched Hive and we come right up, and you can follow the show. Subscribe. Leave a review. 5 stars, 1 star, any stars. We don't care. We just want to hear from you. And we're glad that you've listened. And guys, this wraps it up. Episode 6 is in the books. We'll see you.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Our next show we're looking at April 1st. So chances are we'll have
a digital download going on in the background.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going for a digital download over the Blu-ray? I'm just curious.
I'm not.
All right, guys, we're going to continue this off the air because I got to get out of here before this music ends.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys, have a great couple of weeks, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
May the Force be with us all.
It hurts, please.